When I was a senior in college, I was invited by one of my professors to go with him to the International Eucharistic Congress in Dublin in 2012 as part of a research project. He'd gotten a grant, and he was studying the difference between the 1932 Congress there and the one 80 years later in 2012. And it was a great opportunity, and I loved it, and there were great talks and beautiful masses and lots of bishops and you name it, hats all around. But there was one moment that really touched my heart more than any other. And it was, towards the end of the Congress, a Eucharistic procession. Part of the reason we were studying this is because Ireland had changed drastically from 1932. Then it was triumphant, everybody was Catholic, it was huge, and yet today the faith in Ireland has dropped significantly. If they ordain one priest for the entire country, it's a good year. And so many of these people we were walking past on the street in this procession were not Catholic, or not anymore. And I thought, I saw these people, just a handful here and there, dropping to their knees along the route, stopping what they were doing to kneel in prayer before our Lord. And they touched my heart for a reason. All of us in the procession from all over the world, we knew what we signed up for. We chose to go and be part of this procession. Of course we're going to be praying and kneeling and singing and all the things that we're supposed to do. Those other people on the street, maybe they don't understand what is happening here. Or they're just busy about their lives and couldn't be bothered. But those people who stopped, who had their lives interrupted by this procession, going about their way, doing their business, in their heart, they responded to Christ. They chose, when Christ was in their midst in the Eucharist, to get down on their knees, to stop what they were doing, and to recognize the presence of our Lord. It was an internal movement manifested in their actions. And that really hit home. So often as Catholics, we know what to do. We genuflect at the edge of a pew because that's what you do, and sometimes you do it at the end of a movie theater bank of seats because you're just so used to when there's a row of seats, I'm going to genuflect, right? And we might say, well, isn't that good? I'm so used to it. I would say no. If you're just doing it out of habit because that's what you do when there's a row of seats, you're not thinking about what is truly present in our midst today. You're not thinking about what your exterior action should mean internally. In our gospel today, Jesus doubles down saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And just as the living Father sent me, I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me. He talks about whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And yet, for all the reverence we show for the Eucharist, often that interiority is lacking. We receive communion and go back to our pews and start watching other people to see what they're doing because I got mine. Or we go right out the back of the church because that's what I was here to do, is to get something. It's transactional. The Eucharist is some magic pill or, well, wafer that we receive, and I got it, and I can go. That's not true. We have just had an encounter with the living God who desires to dwell in us, to give us eternal life, to remain in us as he remains in the Father. Do we act like it? Do we take the time after communion, as we should in that moment of silence, to contemplate what we have just done? That the divine life of God is now living in us through the gift of the Eucharist. Do we genuflect not because we're told or because of habit, but because I am recognizing the presence of God here in my midst? Do I go forth transformed by that encounter, treating my brothers and sisters with love and compassion because Christ dwells in my heart? Or will we do these actions emptily because we're so used to it, because it's just what you do as a Catholic, or because mom and dad told me to. I dare say one is better than the other, and is something we often miss as Catholics. We need to take those actions seriously. What am I saying when I genuflect, or bow, or say amen? What am I doing when I go back to my pew to pray and reflect on what God is doing in my heart? What am I doing, having received Jesus Christ dwelling within me as I leave the doors of the church? That is what matters. That interior life, that life with Christ in our hearts, is more important than anything else. This year and next, the bishops of the United States have decided that we need a Eucharistic revival in this country. And we could look around and say, yeah, our country needs a revival. We're like Ireland. People aren't going to church, or they didn't come back after COVID, or whatever. But to that I say, poppycock. You need the revival. This revival is not a tool of evangelization. It's not out to get other people to believe in the Eucharist. It's to transform us, the Catholics in the pew, to understand who and what it is we truly receive in the Eucharist. Who is present in our tabernacles at church, so that we might come to know Christ more fully and then go out. But until we have that prayer life of God dwelling in our hearts, understanding who it is that we receive and what is truly happening at Mass, our efforts to evangelize will mean nothing, because they will encounter empty actions, empty rules, rather than encountering Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts. May we open our hearts to be revived by the Eucharist, to go inside ourselves, to meet Christ in the innermost depths of our being, and to make all of our actions conform with who is dwelling in our hearts. If we can do that, this Eucharistic revival will be a success, and then we can begin to spread the message to those who have yet to hear it. May our actions never be empty, but may we truly reflect in our hearts what we do on the outside. That is Christ dwelling in us.